Today, I'm concluding the talk that I began last week on the topic of what giving is. It is, in short, the calling for every Christ follower to be as generous as our God, who so loved us that he gave us everything. You see, generosity surprises and blesses people. Group Vacation Bible School opening and closing materials, and we've used Group Vacation Bible School materials ever since we resumed back in the mid-teens. And the material often includes what they call God sightings, where the kids are encouraged to look for God sightings, God at work in their everyday lives. It's described there in their material as evidence of God in things like a sunset or a rainstorm or a laugh or a kind word or a tasty snack. And we haven't always included this in recent years in the interest of time, because if you get started with kids, it can go for a while. But when we did, a God sighting that often came up amongst the stories of the kindness of a sister that helped her brother to clean his room, or similar stories where the kids were in their mom or dad's car or grandma's car in line at McDonald's or Wendy's, and the people in the car in front of them paid for their entire meal for their entire family. And that was huge for them. They were blessed by the generosity of those kind people. Generosity surprises and blesses people. Back in the week after March, the March 2020 COVID-19 shutdown, after that had descended on the world, a couple of ABCers came to the church and they handed me an envelope with $200 and $20 bills, and they told me that it was for anyone who needed it, whether it was inside of ABC or in the community, and it was to be at my discretion. And I took that as a great honor and a great responsibility, and I did that. It took me a year. The needs weren't as great during COVID as people might have thought. But there have been other times when somebody in the ABC or Ashland community is struggling in some way, and ABCers will come to me with a significant amount of money designated for that particular need, and they ask me to somehow anonymously give those funds to those who are experiencing the need. And I've learned how to do that over the years. And this always, always blesses the receivers, as you might expect. And they always want to know who. And I always say, can't tell you. And sometimes I don't know, okay? And this is because when we are generous, we are being so much like our Heavenly Father. And that cannot help but be a blessing. Giving is a divine calling. In fact, giving is an act of worship. Here at ABC, we have the offering where we have it in the service, because it's not just something we do because we need to, or it's what we've always done. It's because it's in the middle of the worship service, because giving is an integral part of worship. There was a time when I wanted people to think that I didn't care about the offering. So we'd have it at the beginning of the service. It was the first thing we did. Or there are other churches, and we did this quite successfully during COVID, where churches have an offering box, and they don't have an offering time in the service. And the generosity of the congregation is wonderful. But the thing is, it's just like, oh yeah, you can give. And that's like saying, oh, yeah, you can worship. Okay? It's the same kind of thinking. It's a very important part of worship. A picture of this is when the wise men found Jesus in Bethlehem. They worshiped as they gave. It says there in Matthew, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. The emphasis up there is my emphasis. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all very precious things. Not only had they come a very great distance and they had given of their time and their resources, they also presented these very precious gifts to the baby who was born of two peasants because they knew who he really was. Part of worshiping is recognizing God's gift of his abundance to us. And this is something that kind of crosses over into our previous point, which was last week, that God gave all, so we do too. We give abundantly because he gave abundantly. James tells us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So, in recognizing God's generosity, we return our gifts in worship. Another aspect of our worship is responding to God's incredible goodness to us. Last winter, we enjoyed a study of Philippians, and we saw there how Paul had been so blessed by the generosity of the Philippian church to him. And by the way, Philippi is in Macedonia, okay? And then if you've read 2 Corinthians 8, Paul refers to the Macedonian church and to their generosity. And so here, Paul is in Philippians, he's experiencing their generosity that just naturally happens from these people. They had sent him generous gifts, and while he was very deeply moved by their thoughtfulness, he passed it right on to God, describing their gift as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Notice that Paul calls it a sacrifice. Part of our worship and giving is recognizing that giving is sacrificial and that it takes more than just what we have left over. Sometimes our giving is all that we have left because sometimes giving hurts. In Mark 12, Jesus taught his disciples about sacrificial giving by comparing a very poor widow to self-righteous religious leaders. In that passage, it says, "And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box." Can you imagine having Jesus sitting and watching what you put into the offering box? Well, he does actually, okay? Many rich people came in and put in large sums. And I remember in my Bible storybook, it had these pompous looking fat guys just like me, who looked like Pharisees coming up with bags that hung full of gold, okay? And they put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had and all that she had to live on." Giving is an act of worship. And for her, it was an act of faith. Giving is important to God, so it needs to be important to us. We need to make God's priorities our priorities. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And this means it's important to determine what's important to God and then follow His Holy Spirit's leading. Giving is also caring for special needs. Paul is commending the Macedonian church for their generosity, despite the fact that they were themselves very poor. It says, but they wanted help. They wanted to help with the work in Jerusalem. This is what I'm referring to, the church in Philippi, the Macedonian church. He writes to the, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means. In fact, he's saying, look, I've experienced this. And it was all of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. The saints in Macedonia knew then, and we know it now, that there is times when giving is needed, when the need is greater than what we lack. A great suggestion came to me this past week to share with ABC about the Community Needs Fund. And this is a perfect place to do that. And a lot of you don't know what the Community Needs Fund is, because back in the day when we had Sunday school class on a regular basis, we took an offering during Sunday school class. And those funds went into the Community Needs Fund, okay? And that's how it was replenished, okay? And we no longer have that, okay? So many people give regularly to our Community Needs Fund, and I'll explain what that is in a bit. And it's one of the things when you go online to our Tithely account for the church, it's one of the funds that are in there. There's the General Fund, there's the Shifley Fund, there's the Missions Fund, there's the Community Needs Fund, and other ones, okay, that you can designate your funds for. And the Community Needs Fund are for needs that are in the community, whether it's the ABC community or the community at large, okay? And we favor ABCers, okay? When we start getting low, which we haven't been for a while, we have to be more cautious. It's interesting when we get a need that comes in, I will often get multiple requests after someone gets cared for in the community, because the word gets out that ABC helps, and we work with other organizations in the community to make sure that needs are cared for, and it's a huge blessing. Another way that we replenish that is that we get Mary's very diligent and vigilant in getting grants from Everence to help us with this, and that's another way that we keep it replenished. So it's there for you if you find out, if you have a need, or if you find out from somebody that there is a need, you can contact us. The deacons and I determine where that goes. So that's the Community Needs Fund, and it's a way to care for special needs. Moving on. Giving is contentment and freedom. Paul told Timothy, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. I began this talk this morning by saying how Generosity surprises and blesses people, but it also is a blast for the giver. This is because giving is rewarding. Moses, writing to the people of Israel about their poor brothers and sisters in Deuteronomy 15, which was our Old Testament passage last week, he says, "You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give it to him, because for this the Lord your God will bless you in your work and all that you undertake." Paul, in his final words to the leaders of the church in Ephesus, told them, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of Jesus, Lord Jesus." And by the way, this isn't in the Gospels anywhere that Jesus said this, so it was some kind of oral thing that Paul learned about Jesus, because Jesus himself said, and that if Paul said it, that means it's gospel anyway. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Giving is a blessing, even as it blesses, and that just adds to the wonderful freedom that comes with generosity. Giving is faithful, and it's consistent, and it's regular. Paul taught that whoever can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. As we give, and as we give with faith, God makes sure that our needs are cared for. Now, I'm not espousing, don't hear what I'm not saying here. I'm not espousing giving to get, okay? Rest assured, God will still give us too much, and he won't give us more than we can handle. But this is why I always say, and why I will continue to say, you can't outgive God. It's a biblical concept that I'll talk about as I conclude this talk by using a famous text from Malachi. Just remember, what we need is thoughtful, prayerful, consistent, and regular giving. And this shows our faith. It also takes into consideration Paul's words that we heard last week from 2 Corinthians 9. To give as he or she has decided in their heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. And I had another question from someone this past week. How about this charity or that charity? This is where you look to the Holy Spirit for guidance. It's between you and God. I can't tell you what charity, well, there are some that I would say, oh no, how about this one, okay? But you need to determine it with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is coming in here in a regular basis. You need to prayerfully, because what you don't give here, that's between you and God, okay? It's thoughtful and careful and prayerful and regular. Giving is joyful. Now, I've talked about this a little bit ago. In the same passage that I just referenced from 2 Corinthians 9, it's at the end of the same verse that I just referenced. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, does that mean that he doesn't love grumpy people? Or even worse, that he despises grumpy givers? No, it's certainly not. God's blessing is most definitely on those who are cheerful in their giving. He loves everybody. He especially appreciates cheerful givers. And I think that Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase, gives this a really helpful clarification. He says, God loves it when the giver delights in giving. I like that. I just talked about the freedom that's found in giving, and part of that is the sheer joy that comes from knowing that you're giving in God's will. And then giving is commended. Now, before you think I'm going back on everything, giving is commanded. It is commanded, okay? But it's commanded. And, last week I talked about no compulsion or duress or guilt trips or giving unwillingly. Let me just say this. Being a Christ follower means following God's commands. And there are those times when you're in a situation and you have a compulsion. You know that you need to give to a need that's right in front of you, and you're just wondering, can I do that? Do we have what we need? You need to obey that. You need to obey that. In Deuteronomy 15, Moses is writing down the requirements for the sabbatical year, which was when land was returned to the original owner and freedom was given to slaves, etc. And he says, for there will never cease to be poor in the land. I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and to the poor in your land. Now that's the Old Testament. Jesus never said anything about commanding it, but he sure said something about that lady putting in everything she had in the offering. It's just wrong to ignore a need. And we need to follow, here it go. Again, we need to follow the stirring of the Holy Spirit in our soul. Take it as a command. And then finally, giving brings a dare. And here's the dare. It's just you watch. And this is one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible, and it's found in Malachi 3:8-10. And you've heard it before. I use it all the time, but it's good to hear it again. Malachi is talking to the people of Israel, and he says to them, will you rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? And he replies, in your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down on you for you a blessing until there's no more need. This is how he takes care of needs, by working through his people. And that's just one place where we get the biblical concept that you can't outgive God. We don't even try. It's not a matter of trying. It's just that he takes care of things. Just you watch. That's the dare. You just watch what God does as you faithfully and consistently and regularly give to the needs that the Holy Spirit lays on your heart. We shouldn't be amazed, because this is what God does. He does miracles. It's what he does. They shouldn't even be called miracles. If we would do it, it would be a miracle. But if God does it, it's just what he does. But you just watch. And he will do great things through you. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 9, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. This year, we bought our normal number of tomato plants. And then Katie gave us some tomato plants. And then Sheila gave us some tomato plants. And we couldn't throw any of them away. And so I tell people, we didn't plant them, we sowed them. We have so many tomato plants in a 4x8 raised bed. And we have had so many wonderful tomatoes. We are still getting tomatoes. And every night when they give us a frost warning, I worry about all those green tomatoes. It's like my babies, you know? And they're gonna die sometime. But Kathy, I wouldn't have done it this way, but she did, and she's the boss. And she sowed them. And I just thought, it's true. It's just logical. Jesus said, give and will be given to you. The Lord knows the ones whom he can trust to provide for his kingdom. So he will give to you and make sure that you're provided for. Once again, I'm not saying this is where you give to get. That's not the motivation. The motivation is the kingdom of God and the furtherance of God's kingdom. Giving is expected of the grateful Christ. It's expected of every Christ follower, but it's definitely given, expected of the grateful Christ follower. And as you do that, you will never look back. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and have a closing word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bless your name. We are thankful for your blessings and your provision. We have seen you at work over this year where we saw our accounts here struggle as we had big bills at the beginning of the year. And we have seen the congregation just come through with giving. And we are thankful for the generosity here because it's not just here. It goes around the world to the Middle East, to India, to Zambia, to ministries around this world.